In this episode of The Young and the Woke.
When we pretend that racism is a thing of the past, it's a punch to the gut because it's still so prevalent. And to ignore it is to disempower those who are experiencing it and who are fighting to change it.
For over a year now, many leaders of the Republican Party have waged a culture war on education. They claim that school curriculum that opens up conversations about equity, social justice, and racism is anti-American and teaching students to hate their country. Politicians are weaponizing phrases such as critical race theory to rally their base and win elections. My name is Rose Kaur, and I am a guest producer for this episode of The Young and the Woke. This podcast is going to share the perspectives of students who are discussing race in the classroom. Let's step away from the politicians and pundits and listen to our young people. That is exactly what one teacher, Heath Madam, is interested in exploring.
My name is Heath Madam. I currently teach 10th grade English and Law and Society in the Race Policy and Law Academy at Oakland Technical High School. And yeah, it's my fifth year teaching in OUSD.
Heath asks 9 of his students in the Race, Policy, and Law Academy, known as RPL, to be candid about their experiences when discussing race in the classroom. Next, you will hear Nyla, Samira, Ruby, Satara, Summer, Imani, and Audrey share their opinions.
So first question, this is pretty straightforward. Do you think it's important for high school students to talk about race in the classroom? And if so, why?
I think it's absolutely important. I think that it's something that you can't ignore. Your racial identity is something that you carry with you throughout your entire life. The closest friends that I've made in that class have been other Black students. So I feel like that really helped me to connect closer with my community.
As a white person, I don't necessarily have to think about race or racism in my everyday life because I have the privilege of being a white person and I'm not going to be oppressed because of the color of my skin. If we don't have those conversations in all of our classes, then it creates this idea that white people don't need to think about it. Mm-hmm. But if we bring the topic of race and racism into the classroom, then it makes everyone have to reflect on it and think about it and realize that it's important to talk about.
I believe education is really the biggest way in which we're going to combat the really deeply rooted racism, whether that's English, history, classes, electives, RPL, just educating people. It really was the classes that got me through high school specifically because I just had very, very tough times. RPL was the first class that I learned about intersectionality. Sometimes you're not just Black, you're also a Black woman or a Black queer woman. And that just opened my eyes to a whole bunch more conversations.
Talking about race is crucial because it allows us to acknowledge other people's experiences and validate them. And also allows for growth, because when we pretend that racism is a thing of the past, it's a punch to the gut because it's still so prevalent. And so to not talk about it is to ignore it. And to ignore it is to disempower those who are experiencing it and who are fighting to change it.
One of the important things about talking about race is, you know, honoring people's histories of their communities and their lived experience. And so if we don't talk about it, you know, an entire aspect of people's experience can be ignored, which makes them feel maybe not seen.
We get one chapter about Martin Luther King or Cesar Chavez or the Japanese internment camps and leaders within that, having the space where your identity was kind of solidified and represented and welcome is great.
I wrote my college admissions essay on the importance of ethnic studies, and I'm now going to be an ethnic studies major. So yeah, I have thoughts and feelings about Great. Ethnic studies in the classroom. Whenever people are like, what was your high school like? I was like, well, you know, it's a little bit of a messy public school, but we had these cool academies, and I got to be in race, policy, and law, you know? I think ethnic studies is super important, and it's important for students of color to find their voices and find solidarity with their experiences. And it's important for white students to talk about race and learn how to be allies to communities of color in a way that is productive and not appropriative.
I think we watched a documentary before that kind of got the ball rolling for the conversation.
Whose Streets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one. And watching that documentary was very powerful, but then the conversations that we had afterwards of all the students in the room just being so high in emotion and like just saying how that impacted them, just hearing the things that people said. I even remember one of my classmates getting so emotional that she almost started crying. And just seeing that, it kind of like hurt my heart, but it made me happy that she was comfortable saying how she felt in the community that we had in RPL. It also kind of made me tear up a bit because personally, I've had a family member that was actually murdered because of police brutality. And to watch that documentary, it kind of set my nerves on fire. And to see how everybody else in the room was reacting to that, it made me feel like, okay, this is a reason to be outraged. And I'm not the only one.
When the George Floyd video came out, I didn't want to watch it because I just knew how traumatizing it could be for me to watch it. But every single person, it seemed, on my Instagram had reposted the video, and that was that. They reposted the video, and then the next post on their story was them at the beach. And it was just like, I don't think you understand how tone deaf this is. My like younger brother, who's in high school, he'll see a video like this, watch it, and then he has to go out into the world as a Black man. A white person, you can post it, or you could care, or you could feel sympathy or whatever, but you don't have to go back into the world as a Black person. It really bugs me when people repost videos of police brutality, because I just think that it's just making us become so desensitized to it.
All this stuff has to go beyond the classroom if we want to address these issues. But how you do that is the question at a school the size of Tech. Like, build a sense of community and connection and trust among students. Because if that's not there, then people are just going to kind of drift to where the people they already know or and feel most comfortable with, which in our society, oftentimes, not all the time, breaks down along racial lines. What needs to happen for like more of those barriers to come down?
Self-segregation is a totally prevalent thing at Tech. Well, what first comes to mind for me is acknowledging that the barriers are there. Because when we don't talk about the fact that self-segregation is happening and address the root causes of it, then nothing's going to progress. I loved the community building circles because they allowed us to even just start by saying what was going on in our day and allowing for those conversation starters that we might not necessarily push for ourselves. I think another way to put it is creating those opportunities to share one another's experiences, because once you understand one another, it's a lot easier to connect.
It would be great if RPL was even more than just an academy and it was just in everyone's curriculum, because I think everyone should be learning about the stuff we learned about.
I think that would be a huge step in unifying people to movements of racial justice. You know, you don't have to radicalize people. You just have to say, hey, like, look at what we've been through in this country and, you know, have some empathy.
Undeniably, we have been through a lot in this country. And it is so important that our young people have a safe and supportive space to process their questions, ideas, and feelings in. Thank you, Heath, and other racial justice educators, for doing the hard work of asking the difficult questions about our collective histories and shared experiences. In the next two episodes, we will dig deeper into conversation with these students. We will talk about racial affinity groups and what are the pathways to achieving cross-racial solidarity. I want to thank Young Wan Choi for inviting me to produce this podcast. Much appreciation to Heath, Satara, Summer, Imani, Nyla, Audrey, Samira, Ruby, and Simona for making this podcast possible. Special thanks to Morgan Jacobs for sound design help. If you like what you are hearing, please subscribe to The Young and the Woke wherever you get your podcasts. And until next time, stay woke.